If there is one concern most top of mind among senior sales and marketing leaders around the world, it is the inexorable downward pressure on deal size, margins, and growth as they navigate continued uncertain times. While their CEOs mandate a return to double-digit growth, commercial leaders find themselves more frequently than ever before competing on little else but price. Perhaps most frustrating, however, is that traditionally proven strategies designed to drive that growth no longer work nearly as well as they used to, leaving senior executives to assume they've somehow lost their way, broadly calling for a return back to basics as they exhort their teams to recommit to more disciplined execution. However, getting ever better at an approach already proven to fail does little more than demoralize everyone in the face of ever-deepening underperformance. As the head of sales and marketing at a global industrial fragrances company recently put it, "I just don't understand. We're the leading supplier in our industry. Our products are world-class, our brand second to none, and our salespeople are highly skilled. There's not a single deal in our industry where we're not invited to participate. We make it to the table every single time." "But even when we do," he went on, "we're always one of three suppliers at the table. Despite all of our commercial strength, we end up competing on nothing but price every single time. It's killing our business. Our premium position simply can't sustain that kind of margin erosion." It's an incredibly common, but still maddeningly frustrating scenario. Here's a company that excels across every commercial metric that might matter, but still faces deep commoditization nonetheless. Welcome to what we've come to call the one of three problem, where a supplier commonly wins the battle for customer consideration, even preference, but ends up competing against two others on little but price, nevertheless. How to respond? Typically, heads of sales and marketing would tell you, "If customers fail to fully pay us for all the incremental value we provide, then clearly they must not appreciate all the incremental value we provide." So they direct their teams to sharpen the company's value proposition. They equip reps to more crisply articulate the many ways in which their company can not only meet customers' needs, but exceed them. They carefully redesign marketing campaigns and sales collateral to better communicate the broad range of their company's best-in-class, cutting-edge solutions and unique ability to provide moments of deep customer delight. And yet, in today's world, even when delivered well, most customers' reaction to suppliers' costly efforts to better articulate their company's value isn't so much, "Wow, we had no idea," but rather something closer akin to, "Yeah, we knew that already." Today's customers will often concede the point right up front, responding, "We totally agree. We think you guys are great. Your solution is by far the best, and we'd love to partner with you." Which feels fantastic, until they add, "In fact, that's why you're one of the three companies we've invited to participate in this bidding process. But as much as we love your solution, this other company's solution is good enough, and they're a lot cheaper. So if we can get your solution at their price, then we're good to go." And that's painful.